After an unusual Sunday of people sharing kind thoughts and bringing up memories of good things done by David and I, and just basically blessing us with words of affirmation and just blessing, I realized for the first time, not that it's happened the first time, but I realized for the first time that how important it is and how much it does for a person when we speak good things over them. It got me really thinking about this whole process of what it would do for other people if we did that for them, and if we had a habit of doing this, how wonderful it would truly be. I picked up a book that I've had for a while in my library and decided to read it because it had a catchy title. It was written by Michael O'Shield. And he speaks about the process of forgiveness. When a person forgives others, this process really can't be completed until we actually bless somebody, and what that means to do that. Just simply to forgive them or to say that we do doesn't complete the process, is why so many times just a memory of that situation can bring harm to them. I just want to say that in the same way today that I am saying that it so blessed us to be blessed by the word spoken for us, I can also say that it's brought a lot of pain when people have done just the opposite, to criticize, to malign, to do all these things that people do. And we are living in an era now where I think more than ever before, under this amendment of freedom of speech, people can actually say very hateful things about very wonderful people. And we basically get away with murdering somebody's character. And for some reason, we think it's right. Well, maybe in the society that we live in a constitution written by man, it might be right. But by the constitutions written by God, it is not. And we are held accountable for our words, every vain word. And I believe that words spoken that are negative and harmful and hurtful and critical and judgmental of people are in the category of vain words because they bring death. Jesus says, "My words bring life." You think that the written word in the scriptures do. You search them and see if they bring life. But my words are spirit, they are life. And he was the life, so anything coming out of him gives life. I realize God has so blessed us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And how wonderful it is to be blessed. How wonderful and how important it is. And I didn't realize that God had authorized us to bless people and basically puts a responsibility on us to bless people. But most of all, our blessing others brings blessing on ourselves. So off and on, I'm going to bring in things that Michael O'Shields shares in his book. But I'd like to call this message blessing. That's just a little portion of his book, and everything I'm going to share today doesn't come out of this book. You know me, I go off script a lot. But it did spark in my heart and mind this whole concept that I've known before but never really paid that much attention to or tried very hard to practice it. I guess I always thought that if you beg for blessing and if you pray for blessing and if you seek for blessing, which we all do, that we would get it. Well, that's the farthest thing from the truth. It wasn't until I got into the scriptures that I realized that's just the opposite. That is the way to never get blessed. The only way I can really ever be blessed is by blessing you. I want to go into an introduction so that we know what we're all talking about. We're going to go into studying blessings a little bit. So allow me to go back and start showing us from the word some of these very important things. So when Alexander the Great conquered most of the then known world, Greek became the common language of the subjected lands. And many Jews had begun to lose their Hebrew language as they spread across the Greek Empire, and the Greek scholars, realizing they had so many of these Jews, began translating what we call today the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. And this translation enabled the Jews to stay in touch with their sacred writings from the past. And this was very important to them. It really was. It also allowed Gentiles to look into the scriptures because they didn't have them available to them. And whatever was written in Hebrew, they didn't know. So they had no access to all of this. And it set the stage for Paul when he went to the Gentiles to be able to communicate with them from the scriptures, from the Old Testament, and write to them from the New. The concept of blessing, while central to Judaism, hardly existed in the Greek society. They had no words for it. They didn't know what to call it or what to say. And so, because there was no equivalent words that could convey the full meaning that the Hebrew group of words had for blessing, the translators had to settle for something less than perfect. So this is what happened. The word to bless, translated as a noun, eulogia, and it means fine speaking. The word to bless, translated as a verb, is elogio, which means to speak well of. Also to give affirmation, to give compliments, to communicate an uplifting wish, or give someone praise. We derive our English word eulogy from this, and it has come to mean the fine things we say about someone at their funeral. Sadly, however, memorial service seems to be the only place or time that anyone chooses to take the opportunity to say such things. Blessing isn't just confined to good things said about someone. Because when God blesses us, He blesses us with a whole lot more than just nice words and kind things that He says about us. Although those are very nice too. So when we talk about blessing, I don't want us to be confined simply to this action of us speaking good things about one another or blessing one another with positive things that we say over their life. Because we can bless them with many things other than nice things. So I don't want us to be confined as the Greeks were confined. I want us to have the Hebrew understanding of everything blessings encompass. This word that we call eulogy is a word that is very important, and that's what I said at the beginning. I realized how healing, how nice, how great it feels. So that's what started me on this journey of learning about blessing. And that's how I learned that blessing isn't confined only to saying nice things, although that'd be good if we just started there. It also encompasses a whole lot more. So the scriptures maintain a greater idea throughout both the Old and New Testament in the context of blessing, and I'd like to get into those. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, Jesus declared, "I say unto you," it doesn't say unto the Jews, it doesn't say unto the Greek, it doesn't say unto the Americans, it just said you. And whoever's reading this, or whoever heard his words at that time, this belonged to them. "I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So it doesn't say pray for God to bless people who do bad things to us. It says, I want you to bless them. We are to bless people. How can we do that? How can we come to the place where we actually can bless people when we don't have blessing in us to give people? God is saying that what we speak over people's lives will happen in their life. But that isn't the only thing that happens. When I speak blessing on your life, blessing comes to mine. That's the only way I can get blessing. So when Jesus says, bless those who curse you and do these good things to those that hate you, He means to speak well of those who speak ill of you and do good to those who would bring harm to you. The two injunctions demonstrate the very definition of love your enemies. This is what God is telling us to do. So basically, He is authorizing us. When Jesus said to the disciples, go, preach to all the nations. When Jesus said, go, heal the sick, deliver people from demons, He was authorizing them. He was empowering them. He was sending them. Apostolos is to be sent, a sent one. So Jesus, basically, when He says, bless people, do good to people, it's the same as when He said, go and heal people. Go and deliver people. They didn't have the power to heal. They didn't have the power to scram demons from somebody's life. He did. So He authorized them. When He told them to do something, He was giving them the power and the authority to be able to do so. So if we're going to look in ourselves for the ability, the power, and the whatnot to bless somebody, especially our enemies, and to say a kind thing to somebody who is at the same time judging us and saying critical things and making us look very bad before all our friends and making us feel like a heel inside, how can I do that in my own? I cannot do that. But God has empowered me that if I will to do it, I can. The disciples came back to Jesus and they said, "Woo, everybody we prayed for got healed." Well, duh. "We even cast out devils." Well, duh. Well, we knew we couldn't heal anybody, but they got healed anyway. "We have no power over devils, but they sure scrammed." Why? Because he authorized it. The scripture uses blessing as an act of transfer, either by word or action. When we bless somebody, we are transferring substance, just like we transfer healing, just like we transfer deliverance. It doesn't come from us, it comes from within us, because in us dwells the Christ, in us dwells the Holy Spirit. In us dwells the one who is alive with blessing for all. Over 1,000 blessings that are in the scripture that we can bless people with. So God gave us a manual. All he needs for us is to do it. And when I bless somebody, I'm transferring something from deep inside of me, from the world of the Holy Ghost, the world of the Spirit, the world that's alive toward God, the world that has God in it. I'm actually transferring whatever I'm saying and giving it to you. It's the same thing that happened to Peter and John when they went to the temple and there was this lame man. They said, "I don't have what you're asking for. I don't have money, but I do have something that you're needing. I have it. I possess it." He didn't say it was his. He just said he had it. It'd been given to him. And so now Peter says, I'm paraphrasing, "I'm going to transfer blessing to you." What's the blessing I'm going to lay on your life? Rise and walk. The blessing I'm going to put on your life is that the situation you're in and have been all your life ended right now. The blessing I'm going to put on your life is you'll never be the same after today. That's quite a blessing. Why? Because he was authorized to. Why? Because he had the power to. Why? Because he was commanded to. Wherever you go, heal the sick. Cast out devils. Now, we can obviously understand that when it comes to preaching, healing, delivering, but why don't we understand this about blessing? It's an actual transfer that I'm making. Now listen, transfer just doesn't mean it left me. That's not transfer. I can write a check and transfer money, but it's really not in the other bank until they post that they received it. It's not a complete transfer until you have it in cash. I can send money to you through Walmart, but unless you go down and get it, you don't have the money. It's not transferred yet. You can call it a transfer, but it's not transferred. So when I tell you that Scripture uses blessings as an act of transfer, either by word or by action, I am saying that what I have, I give you. This man ended up with what Peter had and began to walk. When I bless somebody and say through words or action, "I bless you with this or that," the transfer happens. But something has to take place. First of all, you have to receive it. If the man had just stayed there when he said, "Rise and walk," he hadn't gotten the full transfer. But blessings actually do something for the blesser and for the blessee. What I speak will happen in your life because God will ensure that it does. He watches over his word. If he empowered me to bless you, and then I bless you, and he does nothing about it and makes sure it doesn't happen, well, then he's a liar. Listen, all blessings come from God. So if I release a blessing to you, God's got to do something about it. And he will. God will never be short on his word. When I speak a blessing over your life, you may think I am not a prophet. You might think that I don't even know what I'm talking about. But if it came out of my mouth and I released it out of my spirit, if you take it, you'll get it. And everything that was said will happen. That's why blessing is a whole lot more than saying nice things. Because it'll make you feel good, but that's all you get. But I've got blessings for you that will give you a whole lot more than that. And boy, when I realized What power is in my hands that's been given to me by God? And how I can go around making everybody's life different and better? I'm thinking, oh, I'm on a roll right here. I just discovered something that's going to make the whole world around me a whole lot better. Now, I didn't link it to forgiveness, but I learned from my own experience, my spirit can never be truly healed by just forgiving somebody. I have to go one step further and I have to bless them. And normally I have to bless them with something that they're really needing. If they're critical, they need a spirit of grace. If they're criticizing a nice home and a nice car, guess what they need to be blessed with? Finances! So that they're blessed. And so God empowers us to bless people. And you're doing all this marvelous healing and transformation in people's lives. It is so wonderful. Once you get the hang of it, and once you realize all the power God has given you to bless and change people's lives out there, you can do it by speaking or by action. Give them a house, give them a car, give them some money, give them a book, give them some food, or speak blessing over their life that this demon that has ruined their financial life be changed forever and the blessing starts coming down on their life. But you see, the transfer isn't complete. God's idea wasn't that we go around depleting ourselves to give others what we had. So when Peter said, what I have, I give you, he didn't give the lame man the power to heal people. He just gave him some of the power to heal people. He needed the rest of it to heal all the rest of them. So when his shadow went by the street, it would heal everybody on the other side of the shadow. He didn't give away what he had. He gave away out of what he had. What changes a man from being your enemy to someday being your friend? The transfer of blessing, because if you curse him, he expects to be cursed by you because he just cursed you. That's what enemies do. If enemies harm you, they expect that to happen. You have no idea how many times in my life I've been threatened. My life has been threatened either by a gun put by my head or by somebody sending me a very nasty text that they're coming out here and my mother won't recognize any part of me after they're done with me and all of this thing and that they're on my way and I better, you know, be in terror and all of this until they got here. I didn't know whether to get some of this maize or whether to get a tase gun. And the Lord says, fight evil with good. So I did something very good for them. Next thing I know, they've forgotten all their complaints and all their threats and ask a family member to thank me. And all is good. Listen, this is what Jesus said. Return the evil that's done to you with good. Now, the evil that they cursed you with works two ways. Remind me and I'll get to that in just a minute or two. The curse and the blessing that you throw out there goes two ways. All right. We don't have to wait for someone to offend us, however, in order to give them a blessing. Why should we? We can bless people anytime, any place. Do you know that there's a double benefit to blessing somebody? Why? Because if you bless somebody, you will be blessed. And because when you bless somebody, it feels really good. Just as good as when they're blessing you. Just like, have you noticed that to give feels even better than to get? It's great to get, but when you get into a giving spirit and you realize everything it does and how good you feel about it, you just start being a giving person. So it's a double blessing. You get to feel good and you get blessed on top of that. The scripture is filled with blessing from Genesis to Revelation. And in the next message, I'm going to give you some real choice ones. Because sometimes you say, well, what can I say to bless somebody? Well, by the time I'm through, you won't be saying that. You'll be saying, wow, I didn't know there was that many things to bless people with. In fact, you're going to wish somebody said that to you, and it will happen. If you believe it, when you give it, it will happen for them. In the book of Acts, it says that God sent Jesus to bring us a very special and particular blessing on his behalf. The other night in the prayer meeting, we were praying for certain people, group of people, and we were praying for God to bless them. And I got to thinking while we were praying, God says, bless them. Now, these aren't people exactly that have been all that kind to me, and they haven't been all that great to me, and they've been very critical and very judgmental. And the Lord says, I want you to start praying to bless them. Well, I didn't know what to bless them with. You know, when you're not in a good mood to bless somebody, it's hard to think of something to bless them with. And the Holy Spirit brought a scripture to my mind. Now listen to this one. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. It was for you, first of all. Now look at you. This means all of us. It was for you, first of all, that God raised up His servant and Son, Jesus, and sent Him to bless you. Doesn't that sound great? Well, let me finish the verse. To bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. I didn't know that was a blessing. Suddenly I found a blessing I could send to all of them. I bless you with Jesus turning from you all your iniquities. So basically what I've done is absolved them from all the harm they ever did me. I just freely forgave them in doing what? In blessing them. So not only am I receiving the joy of having blessed somebody and knowing that they are forgiven, but on top of that now, I get the double benefit that comes down on me after the fact. God told Abraham in Genesis 27, verse 33, I will bless those that bless you, but I will curse those that curse you. And in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. So that means God included all the descendants of Abraham. You know what I call this? I call this the boomerang effect. What we send out comes back. You know what the boomerang is? It's this half moon type of little thing that you throw up in the air and it goes twirling, 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 and it comes around, 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 comes right back to you. So listen to this. This is the marvelous thing I understood about blessing. The descendants of Abraham, whether naturally or by faith, we receive the blessing of God. Yet at the same time, we may receive the cursing of God because we curse other descendants of Abraham. May this never happen to us. What did I just say? I just said that when I bless people, I will now be blessed by God. So if you're going to chase after blessings, you'll never find them. But if you want them, the way to get them is to give them away. Begin to bless people with specific blessings in their life. Now, you're not going to get the exact blessing you gave because then we'd get, that'd be a game we could play. In fact, we play it in modern church. Give $100, you'll get $1,000 back. That's a nice scheme. So, find the blessing you'd really like and give it to somebody. No way, God, no fool. But let me tell you something. God is true to His word, and you will be blessed with a blessing from God. God doesn't say that if you give your tithe, you'll open the windows of heaven, and out of heaven come all these gold coins falling down on you. But He does say He'll open the windows of heaven and cause blessing to come down on you because you are blessing the Lord with your substance. So He now must bless you. God is wise. He's wonderful. He's kind-hearted. He's got great ideas, like sending His Son to free me of all my sin. Hallelujah. So why not let Him choose a blessing for me? I think He'd do a great job. But one thing I'm certain of, if I begin to bless others, my life will become blessed. And if I bless others because I've been authorized to do so, God will ensure that it happens for them. God may even send somebody my way to bless me. Then they get the double benefit of the joy of doing it, of seeing what it did for me, and then on the backside, have God bless them. This is great all the way around, really. However, I can't imagine what is waiting for those who have vomited such criticism, curses, hate speech, death threats, defamation of character and slander against our President Donald Trump. The way to receive curses is to speak them on others. And God will ensure that He keeps His word. Jesus even was clearer than that. He said, what you do for others will be done unto you. We're living in an age where we think we get away with it because no one's suing anymore. Although there's hate speech laws and all that, they're not enforcing it except against Christians. But God looks down from heaven into the hearts of every human being, and no one gets away with anything. No one will speak a blessing over someone that God will not notice and send His word to bring blessing on your life. The very thing they criticize you for is because they lack it. So bless them in the area that they criticize you. You say, well, I've compromised on this. Well, what's the compromise? Well, I just don't speak curses. I just, refrain. Well, that's okay. But there's a step better. Why not take the opportunity, now that these enemies have spoken all these things about you, and bless them so you open the windows of heaven to be blessed yourself? So this marvelous blessing in Acts, I've sent it in about 700 different ways in the last 3 days. Because I'm not only releasing them from what they've done, because I've said 1,000 times I've forgiven them, but now I am blessing them with God forgiving them. Because remember one thing, curses can be broken, but blessings cannot be undone. So the curse they put upon them for speaking curses on me is still on them until I break it. And I break it by sending the Acts blessing on their life. That all their iniquities and their evil deeds be forgiven. I'm not asking God to do it. I am sending God to do it. Because I've been authorized to, and so have you. And haven't we said things of others? So the way to get blessing is not by asking for it or praying for it. The way to receive blessing is to give them. I'm reminded of the song, if you want more happy than your heart can hold, then give it away. The Apostle Peter writes us very good instructions in 1 Peter 3 verse 9. Never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse. But on the contrary, give a blessing. Pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection. For you have been called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing from God that brings well-being, happiness, and protection to you. This is the Bible. Being blessed doesn't consist in grabbing it. It's all about giving it to someone else. It is probably the godliest characteristic we can have. So when blessing, don't think get, think give. That's how it happens. That's how it materializes. Selfishness is in the heart of every unconverted soul. The inner selfish attitude seeks to receive, while the attitude of blessing seeks to give. Blessings cannot be retrieved. It cannot be revoked. Blessings stand. They cannot be taken back once given. Do you remember Isaac blessed Jacob, thinking that it was Esau? When the true Esau appeared, Rebekah and Jacob's deception angered and dismayed both Esau and his father. But Isaac understood something about blessing that few of us have ever grasped. And that is that blessings stand. It cannot be revoked. Even though Isaac may have wanted to take back the blessing from Jacob and give it to Esau, he knew he couldn't. I have blessed him, he said, and indeed he shall be blessed. Here's what David said regarding God's blessing for him in 1 Chronicles 17:27. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, he's speaking to the Lord, that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Blessings cannot be broken. Blessings endure. Once uttered, they stand, impossible to retrieve. However, a curse can be broken. Jesus became accursed for us to free us from all curses. God does not speak capriciously, saying one thing today and taking it back tomorrow. His promise is sure and His word immutable. He is not a man that He should lie. God stands by His word and He expects us to stand by ours. The Lord has authorized us to bless. In fact, He has made us His partners and His agents of blessing on the earth. Hallelujah. Through us, He speaks and acts to impart blessing to a world desperate of it. We are His mouth and His hands. when he says that the words that go forth out of his mouth shall not return unto him until it accomplishes all that he sent it to do, we can believe that our words of blessing spoken on his behalf behave in the same manner. Since he has empowered and authorized us to bless, he backs up our blessing as though he uttered them himself. Numbers chapter 6, the famous blessing that we all refer to. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord concluded his directive by saying, so shall he, that is Aaron, put my name on the children of Israel. Why wouldn't God just put his name there himself? As high priest, Aaron had the authority of God to bless. There are things that only God can do, and there are things that he has given us to do. It is futile for us to attempt to do the things that only God can do. But it is foolish to think that he will begin to step in and do the things that he has commissioned us to do. The act of blessing, although awkward at first, really comes easy and has an immediate effect on others and on us personally. A great example of the power and endurance of blessing is in the story of Stephen, beginning in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, all the way through chapter 7. Rather than reading it, I just want to say that Stephen and Philip, two of the seven deacons, became evangelists, and they had both powerful, miraculous ministries. And I just want to say about them, as Stephen spoke to the council members, they became furious and visibly agitated. Then Stephen had a vision. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Next, the religious leaders dragged Stephen out of the city and began to stone him. As rocks pelt him, he knelt down to give a blessing, not to beg for his life. In Acts chapter 7, verse 60, it says, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had thus said, he fell asleep. Notice that he didn't whisper, he didn't whimper. He cried out with a loud voice. He released forgiveness and blessing. It was the cry of a victor and not a whimper, and that of a victim. And I want to say today that as he began to cry out, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. He wasn't asking God to do it. He was demanding of God that he do it. He was blessing them. Out of his mouth, he sent the blessing of the release of their wickedness. And God had to answer it because he's empowered us to do just that. When Jesus was at the cross, at the last minute before he expired, he said, Father, forgive them. He didn't say, Daddy, please forgive these guys. They don't deserve it. I understand that. He didn't go into all of that. He released forgiveness over all of them. And a blessing cannot be reversed. A blessing stands. When someone has harmed us, we remain their victim until we forgive and bless them, at what point we become victors. You will become the victim of everything someone did to you until you forgive and release a blessing on their life, a true and scriptural blessing on their life. And the go-to blessing I love to go back to is the one in Acts. Bless them with the absolving of all the evil they did to you. Because in doing so, you're going to feel good, number one. Number two, you're obligating your Father to drown you up in a blessing that he invents, that he knows how good it is. And I know that one of his blessings is the order for me to be blessed with restoration and healing in my life so that I'm whole again. Let me give you an example. Do you remember the lepers that came to Jesus, 10 of them? One of them was a foreigner. They came and begged him to heal them. So he healed them. That means that the disease stopped in its tracks and could do no further damage. Whatever parts they were missing because of it remained the same, but they wouldn't die from it. But then one man came back to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember all his benefits. and praise him and thank him. That is blessing God. So one man, a foreigner, Samaritan, came back, fell at his feet, and thanked him, blessed him for stopping the sickness in his body. So the Lord had to bless him. So what did he bless him with? Reconstitution of all the lost parts of his body, because it said, be thou made whole. He was already healed. Whole means everything, nothing missing, everything there. No fingers missing, no parts of the face missing, no ear missing. They all started showing up. So when he came to bless the Lord for what he did, the Lord blessed him with making him whole. So when I release blessing on people that have so hurt me, and I'm still bent out of shape 10 years later and hurting at every memory I have for them, when I release this blessing, the blessing that releases them from all fault, now my Father is obligated to bless me. So what do you think he's going to bless me with? Restoration, healing, completeness, being whole. And now I can return to normal. I don't have to suffer anymore. No more pain. That's a good thing for people that have a lot of pain in their life. That's a good blessing. I come to the place where I realize once we have this kind of authority, it becomes fun. You start releasing stuff even for people that don't like you. You see, once you get the hang of it, this is a good deal. Listen to this. Saul, who was present at the stoning of Stephen, heard the blessing placed upon them and later became a great apostle to the Gentiles, authoring the largest portion of the New Testament because of the blessing spoken by Stephen that day that landed on him by just being a bystander holding some clothes. He was an accomplice to murder, but was totally forgiven, so that God could do the work that he needed to do through his life and bring salvation to millions, including us. The story demonstrates the power of blessing. The blessings we speak today will endure throughout generations and plot the future course of history. What Stephen released allowed God to move in Paul. And when Paul was in Damascus after the encounter with the Lord and was blind, God speaks to an apostle and says, I want you to go. And I want you to speak to him and say, Paul, be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven you. When? When Stephen spoke it. And the Lord can now raise you up to be an apostle. And because your sins are forgiven of everything you did against God's people, because it was spoken, and God has to forget. And I'm paraphrasing. God has to forgive you because Stephen released it upon you. Now you can be healed. And it said the scales dropped off his eye. I don't know whether it was a month later, a day later. I don't know when it was. All I can tell you is just a bystander holding the clothes, laughing and carrying on, because it said that Paul went out from there and he persecuted the Christians and sent them all in prison, killed them and did many things, so much so that in Damascus, where he was headed to do some more of that, they feared him. And even when they knew God, he'd had an encounter with God, they didn't want anything to do with it. But God told the apostle Barnabas, don't be afraid of him. Go, tell him his sins have been forgiven. And I ask myself the question, when? When Stephen released it. Had he not released it, we wouldn't have 2/3 of the New Testament. And some of the gospel that we hang on to dear life when Satan comes to assail us would never have been there for us. So generations later, Stephen's release of blessing is blessing all of us. Centuries later, the blessing God put on Abraham still spills over on all his children. 4,000 years later, what do you have to do to get the blessings that are in Abraham? Bless him. Stupid people are the ones that get up on public television for the world to see and curse the Jews. That's the dumbest thing you could do, because you just brought a curse on yourself and your people. I release the blessing that's written in Acts. The blessing of God be upon you, girl. To remove all your iniquities. So when your time of visitation comes, the Lord will have mercy on you. I release that to you right now. Rather than putting curses on people, we need to be what God sent us to be. A light in the world. Powerhouse in the world. The power's in the tongue. Use it for good. He said the power of death, that's criticism, judgmentalism, curses, and the power of life. Blessings. Yeah, we can ask God to forgive us for all the stupid things we have said. Cursing people and wishing bad things on people and wishing things go worse for people. Would you like a life lived out under one curse after another after another? Well, the way to get it is to give it, right? You get offended with somebody, that attitude is going to come back on you. It's only ruining your life. You're drinking the poison and waiting for them to drop dead. Jesus ascended into heaven, and the last act of his earthly ministry. Now, he did this all throughout his ministry. But after dead, he came back, and the last act, he lifted up his hands as he went up into the clouds, and he blessed the disciples. And when he blessed them, going out in public and speaking with boldness, and they were saying, "Who are these? Weren't these guys the fishermen that couldn't stand up in public, and now they're out here with boldness? What happened to them?" Jesus blessed them. That's why there is no one as blessed as Jesus while he lived on earth and in heaven. All blessings are him. In prisons, many of the men feel that they have disqualified themselves from blessing their own children because of their past failures. Often sons and daughters refuse to forgive their fathers and to bless them because they have no right to speak into their life. But this is simply untrue. God has given every father and every mother the right and even the responsibility to bless their children. And God has given the right and responsibility for children to honor, respect, and bless their parents. Like a mighty river, blessing flows, and the surest way into that flow is to jump in it. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to swim, the current will carry you along. It is not possible to drown, no matter how inept we feel. We cannot fail when we begin to bless. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your liberating spirit. I bless every single one of us here today with a spirit of blessing. I bless every one of us with a release in our tongue to be able to bring up out of our spirit blessings everywhere and speak things of affirmation, kind things, good thoughts, great memories, and bring up out of the wells of salvation, release and healing and forgiveness for everyone so that it will come back on us 10 times over. And I give you praise, Lord, that you've authorized this to do us. I bless your people worldwide. I bless your children. And I step under that mighty river flow of blessing. Thank you, Jesus.